who's going to tell them? You know, church, we do have a job, but we're not going to be able to do our job if we aren't doing what God wants us to do, if we aren't being of a sober mind. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, we do know "may" is a submissive word, but garbage in is garbage out. Our conversations, our attitudes, how we walk, act, talk, everything that we do ought to be able or be an example or be able to glorify God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." Hebrews 11:5 says, that's Philippians 11:6, I'm sorry. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I know I'm going through a lot of verses here. Philippians 1:27, I promise I'm going to get to my point in a minute. You don't have to flip there for sake of time. But it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You know, we've seen God work in this church before. No doubt, I believe he's still working, you know, with the bus ministry and Vacation Bible School. And thank goodness, we get another opportunity for that to happen again. But it's not just going to fall into our lap. You know, we have to seek God diligently each and every day for him to bless us, really. I mean, we can't, you know, when you get saved, I heard a wise man told me this one time. When you get saved, you know, from the time you get saved to the time you go meet with the Lord, there's nothing that you can do to make him love you anymore. He sees you as Jesus. You're washed in the blood. But now you can gain favor with God. Now, not any man should boast about that, but you can gain favor with God. How, you know, or if you wake up in the morning and you read God's word, it says to be sober. A good way to be sober is Romans 10:17. "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Being faithful to him. Reading your Bible in the mornings, praying in the mornings, praying at night. Reading your Bible at night, coming to church faithfully. All these things can gain favor with God. But we're going to be here for a minute. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you time to flip there. I'll read verses 6 through 8. So what I'm going to challenge you with tonight is inviting somebody to church, telling somebody about what Jesus did. And I'm kind of skipping ahead here, you know, but it ought to be easy for you to tell somebody what God did for you. But more so than that, you ought to be able to tell them what God did for them, because he died for everybody. He died for each and every person who's, you know, since he died on the cross. Anybody that's walked across the face of this earth has had the opportunity to be saved before they died. And it's our job to tell them. It's our job as a local New Testament church to let them know that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And this is Paul talking here, saying, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, God has challenged me and convicted me and instructed me to, you know, invite people to church. And everywhere I go, gun shops, O'Reilly's, Parts House, wherever, I try to invite somebody to church or share my testimony with them or let them know what God's done for me or just something to bring glory to His name, because that's what He tells us to do. But in a lot of times, more times than not, you'll get turned away. You'll go to talk to somebody and, you know, they'll just kind of brush you off or, you know, but I just don't want us to lose faith as a church or as an individual when we get turned away, when somebody doesn't listen to us, because it says God giveth the increase. You know, I might come along and invite somebody to church and they might, you know, just not have nothing to do with it. Well, then Brother Walter might come along and invite them to church and tell them about Jesus and do what God instructs him to do. Well, then, you know, it might, you know, that seed might start to get planted. You know, it might start to grow a little bit. God might start working in that person's heart and start, you know, letting them know that they need Him. And then eventually they'll come through the doors of the church, because there's a guy that he works at a gun shop, and I, you know, I'd been praying for him and trying to invite him to church and trying to help him, and God really, you know, laid him on my heart, and he actually, you know, he came to church here, but he's been attending another church, which isn't that bad. It seems like it's a pretty solid church, a King James Bible believing church. So, but you know, it would have been easy for me to get bitter because he wasn't at our church or, you know, my church. That would have been easy for me to say, well, if I didn't do any good because he didn't come to my church. Well, you know, it's God's bigger than, he can be in more than just one church. Amen. But you know, just labor for God, just work for Him. You know, He's invested in us. You know, and I listened to that message, and I'm not trying to steal this message by any means, but you know, everybody in here, raise your hand or said amen when I asked them if they were saved. Well, let's just think about what God's invested in us if we're saved. You know, He sent His Son. He walked across this earth for 33 and a half years perfectly, excuse me, and never sinned one time, got rejected, beaten, bashed, mocked, never, and he stayed faithful the whole time. Well, all the way from, you know, even being about his father's business at 12, you know, in the church. But, you know, and people sit there and, you know, they kind of, I don't know, they just, I don't know how to explain it. They just act like God's not that important, like God's not that real. And, you know, he is real. And I just, God really, you know, especially tonight, laid on my heart to share this message with you. But, you know, not only did he walk across this earth, you know, I hate dealing with rejection. You know, I hate being rejected. I hate not fitting in. I hate not being able to make somebody laugh. You know, there's some things that go on in my life and some people that don't like me. And I'm telling you, it drives me crazy. I cannot stand not being liked. That's just me. It's just who I am. I'm not trying to be like I want to be everybody's favorite. But if I walk up to somebody and shake their hand, you know, I want them to have a smile on their face, you know. But When that doesn't happen, it drives me insane, and I can't help it. But, you try to you know, be an example to that person, and they just will not listen. But, and I don't know what God's showing me through that, but I'm still trying to learn that. But, invest in God. You know, how many of y'all in here got jobs with benefits? Okay. Well, working for God, you know, he's got the best benefit there is, you know. Me being young, I'm not as wise as most of y'all in here, but I really just, right now, I just care about the dollar an hour amount, you know, how much I'm going to make in an hour. That's really all I care about. Retirement, that just seems like it's way far down the road, you know. Dental insurance, don't need that, you know. Health insurance, I'll be all right, I'll tough through it, you know. They didn't really see the importance of having a benefits. I just really care more about the dollar amount. But how many benefits does serving God come with? Well, I mean, he obviously always says that he will supply all your needs. I don't know about y'all, but he always supplies a whole lot more than just my needs all the time. You know, so why aren't we doing a better job of spreading his word? Why aren't we doing more to get people in the doors of the church? Why aren't we doing more for him? Well, that's between you and him. Hey, you're going to have to talk to him about that, because I can't answer that for you. But, you know, labor for God, invest in him. He's invested his son's entire life. Jesus' whole life is invested in you if you're saved. You know, and I mean, he got the beating he took. I'm not talking about like it's not like he got shot. I mean, he got beat unrecognizably, whipped. I mean, I don't know anybody in here that could stand to take that much pain and still and not one time lose faith or, you know. I mean, he had how many thousands of angels? He could have just snapped his fingers and they could have just took everything away, you know. But he chose to do it. You know, I get fighting mad when I stump my pinky toe coming up the stairs, you know. I couldn't imagine getting beat with a whip, but anyway, getting back on point here. Work for God, labor for him, you know. He labors for us, you know. He doesn't always, and serving when it, I'm so thankful that he didn't just serve, you know, not serve us, but when it was only comfortable for him, you know. His whole life, I mean, really thinking about it, it was miserable, you know. He didn't have everybody that he was really close with stabbed him in the back or cussed him or, you know, told on him or traded him, you know. And, you know, how many of us, you know, do that today, you know? How many of us do that on the daily, you know? But flip over to Joshua chapter 2 for me. Now, at this time period, Joshua is becoming the new leader. And, you know, Moses had, God had already used Moses, and that's when God parted the Red Sea and everything. And it says in verses 10 through 11. And there's this lady, and she's talking to Joshua and this other fellow. And it says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You know, and I can only imagine, you know, how would the world respond to us if we just shared what God did for us? You know, if we just shared our testimonies, if we just told the world what God did for us, how he helped us out. You know, she says, "For we have heard." Well, how did they hear, church? Who told them? Somebody had to tell them, you know. And that's what our job is we need to tell more people about the Lord. We need to invite more people to church. You know, there's some scripture in here. It says, "He added unto the church daily." Well, that's because that church was doing their job. They were in one accord with him in prayer and all supplication. Why aren't we doing that? It would be wonderful if he added into this church daily, you know. I mean, he's blessed us with the bus ministry and the kids and Vacation Bible School, you know. And if you're looking for opportunities to serve God, all you got to do is open your eyes. I'm telling you, Brother Walter just presented you with one tonight. You can drive the bus during the week of Vacation Bible School. I mean, I would, but I ran insurance up too high, you know. But anyway, but you know, why do we not obey the Lord as we should? And it goes on to say, "As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt." Well, that's great, you know. The hearts melted. They started to realize who God was. And then this is, "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." You know, I was talking to a fellow this week, and, you know, I was talking to him about God and what he did for me and how he called me to preach. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God called me to preach, and I'm thankful he's using me, and I'm thankful that this church is giving me opportunities so God can use me. But I was talking to him, and he, you know, just some, I'm telling you, they are some confused folks in this world. I just asked him, I said, well, why do you think you go to heaven when you die? And he's like, well, all them youngins that came through here that I've helped out, I said, well, that ain't why. Well, then he went on and you know, chased a squirrel down a rabbit hole and went on to tell me that some lady named Lucy thought she was going to heaven because her husband was a preacher, you know, and how she thought that she was going to ride his coattail into heaven. But don't that sound like she's got courage in her husband or faith in her husband to get her there instead of Jesus, you know? It just amazes me that as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. You know, when God works, it's amazing. I mean, it's awesome. I was talking to a guy today, not today, but over the weekend as well, and he told me, he said, Blake, I don't know if I believe in God, and I think by the time I find out, it's going to be too late. And I was like, well, man, why don't you believe in God? Talk to me about that. Why do you think there's not a God? And he was like, well, it just defies logic. I said, defies logic? What are you talking about? What's logic? You know, I don't have much of that. Share a little bit with me, you know. But and he got to telling me, you know, this story about, you know, how about the universe and some big bang theory or something, you know. And I was like, well, you know, I don't really like science all that much, but let's just open some things up here. You know, if the air that we breathe, if there was any more moisture in the air that we breathe, you know, do we drown? And if there was any less, we'd suffocate to death because our lungs, you know, are wet. Well, then he got, I didn't know, and then he shared to me, he was like, yeah, if there was any less gravity on Earth, that the whole universe, everything would just float apart. Well, if there was any more, it would just suck itself together. And I said, so it sounds like things were set at a certain point, wouldn't you say? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, don't that sound like there would be a creator to make that happen? And he was like, well, yeah, I guess so. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that God created the world. He did. I said, yeah, nobody else did, you know. And we went on and so be praying for that young man. I really hope that the Lord does, that the Lord's will happens in his life. But get back on topic here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. But I will tell you a joke. I've probably said it up here before, but I was talking to him about it, and he was trying to get this logic thing to go about, this logic thing, and I just asked him. I said, you know, God moves, God does something, and science just runs to catch up with it. Can't figure out how it's done, don't know what happened, they just try to come up with some excuse, some hypothesis, you know, to figure it out. And he said, Blake, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, right now, they are trying to use plants and stuff to make beef, make meat, make hamburgers. I said, God done that when he created the cow. Don't you think science is a couple thousand years behind? Anyway, he thought that was funny. I guess y'all didn't. But anyway, Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, if there was three trees up here, a pear tree, an apple tree, and an oak tree, you'd be able to tell them apart. Well, church, I just want to know, where's our fruit at, you know? Where's our fruit at? If we're not investing in the people outside, it is important to invest in your church. Now, don't take away from that. But if we're not investing in people outside of church, into the world, if we're not really investing, if we're not sharing the gospel with the world, then what are we doing? I mean, that's what God instructs us to do, you know. We're not supposed to just come in here during a church service and be part of the Frozen Chosen and just warm a pew for an hour a week and then come back the next week and do the same thing. You know, we're supposed to share our testimonies, tell what God's did for us. And if you don't know what God's did for you, then I'd love to tell you. I'd love to show you. But, you know, the more I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, 100%. The more that you seek God, the more you'll see Him. The more that you follow God, the more that you'll hear Him. And with that being, what I mean by that is, the more time you spend in your Word and in God's Word, and I'm not talking about just like reading your Bible. Pray about what you read before you read it. God, will you just show me something in this? God, will you please help me understand this? There's this thing in my life that's bothering me. Will you please give me the knowledge or the wisdom or the understanding to know what to do to get through it or get over it or whatever I need. Whatever you want me to do, God, just tell me that, please. And He will. I'm telling you, He will, because He's done it for me and He's done it for everybody else that I've had this conversation with, you know. But it says it will know us by our fruits. Well, what's our fruit, church? You know, what is our fruit? Is it money? Is it hunting? Now, I'm not against hunting. Now, I'm not at all or against money or any of that. But when you put that before God, see, that's when it becomes a problem. You know, the Bible says to labor ye 6 days, you know. Well, when work keeps you out of church, or work comes in between you and spending time with God, whether it be church or whether it be you reading your Bible at night, or if there whatever it is in your life that's keeping you from having a closer relationship with God, that's when it becomes a problem. See, you can have too much of anything except for Jesus. Now, you can't have too much Jesus. Now, I'm not going to say that. But you can have too much food. You can have too much water. You can have too much money, you know. But you can't have too much of the Lord. So I'm just telling you tonight, we need to invest in God. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, our gospel don't need to be hid, because we're supposed to be the light of the world and share God's word with everybody and share our testimonies and tell the world what God did for us, you know. But why don't we do that? What is keeping us from doing that? And I'm just going to challenge you throughout the remainder of this week and to figure out what it is that is in between you and God. What is it that you need to put down to grow closer with Him? Now, my message is almost over, okay? I promise. But please, I'm telling y'all, and we're about to have some fun here, okay? I'm going to challenge y'all to just talk to three people that you don't know, or even if you do know, pray about it, do what God tells you to do, but just get it done. Invite somebody to church that doesn't have a church family or is not here. The lady at the gas station, the fellow at the next pump over from you, you know? There's all kind of conversation starters, you know? If they got a football bumper sticker on the car, talk to them about football. They got a baseball bumper sticker on their car, talk to them about baseball. They got a soccer bumper sticker, tell them to get right with God, amen? But, you know, There's always something to talk to somebody about, you know. You know, standing in Zaxby's, you can talk to them about the gospel bird, a chicken, you know. There's just always something that you should always be able to find something to share with somebody about what God did for you, or how He's used you, or what He's done for them. I mean, I've never had a bad experience trying to invite somebody to church or share with somebody what God did for me. It's never came back and slapped me in the face. You know, I've always received a blessing from it all the time. And I'm not saying do it for that. You should do it to honor God. And, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we can lay ourselves up treasures in heaven. And He's already let me experience some of my, you know, treasures here on earth. But, you know, I mean, there's always something. You might get looked at like you're funny, but it's all right. You know, I was talking to an older gentleman, and a big old tall fella. And I walked up beside him. I was like, long line at the gas station, you know. And I said, well, I ain't got nothing better to do. I just started talking to him. I'm telling you, his hips was like up to here. I mean, that fella was tall. And I just got to talking to him. I was like, man, I tell you what, son, you'd have to ride a tall horse, wouldn't you? And he was like, yeah, I guess I would. And he was some out-of-towner, you know. I'm surprised he could understand me. But, and I just asked him, you know, just out of the blue. I mean, I was trying to find a window there to, you know, to share about the Lord or invite him to church or whatever. And you know, it just didn't seem like it was going. He's like me. He was a talker. And I just asked him, I said, man, are you going to church anywhere? And you could just tell it threw him off, you know. And he just kind of leaned and looked at me, and he had some big old glasses on. He's like, look, it looked like that. Hey, what's wrong, brother? Them glasses ain't working, man. And he was, you know, that threw him off too. And I was like, he said, what'd you ask me that for? And I'm like, well, I just feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And he said, man, you know how long it's been since somebody talked to me about church? And I said, no, sir, how long has it been? He said, I ain't been invited to church since I was 15 years old. And I bet this guy was in his 70s. I was like, well, brother, you look 35, man. You ought to come on to church. And, you know, but you should always, always, always see an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. And I know, you know, your day's getting in a hurry. Pick up some of them gospel tracks. You know, I'm not going to call his name, but he told me he came up with a great idea. I'd never get this smart. But said he folded them up and stuck them in the credit card slot on the gas pumps. You know how clever that is? I'd never think of that. And I think I went behind him one day, and I could not figure out why my credit card would not go in the machine. And I just went to the next pump and then walked around there and then pulled out. It was a gospel track, and I, you know, stuck it back in there. But anyway, that's all I got for tonight. I'm sorry I didn't, you know, go the full 30 minutes. But I want to hear some words of praise or some testimony. I know we had a long weekend this weekend, but is there anybody that seen the Lord work over the weekend? Is there anything that happened to somebody over the weekend that they'd like to share with the church? All right. Flat tire. That's crazy. I tell you, I'm thankful for Brother Charles too. He sure helped me out a lot. Yeah, helping folks change the tire on the side of the road, man. That can go a long way too. Okay. And that's even better, you know. Amen. That's right. I sure do. That's right. You know, better aerodynamics down low, you know. We don't have to worry about jumping barbed wire fences. We can just slide under them, you know. Yeah. It'd be all right. It'd be okay. I've done a lot worse, you know. And got away with it. That's right. That's right. They have plenty of opportunity there. But
we had a great day Sunday with the graduation and everybody. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And good food. Hey, Brother Randy, you want to kill that live stream? I don't know who made those brownies, but let me tell y'all what, y'all are at the top of my prayer list, because I'm praying that God will bless y'all and lay it on y'all's heart to make some more of them. I'm telling you, them things was good. I just had to say that. I know we got some time to kill here.